Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Antoinette. On this podcast, I have an opportunity, an honor, and a privilege to interview people who are not only in the state of Delaware, but all around the world, and they're doing some positive things in their communities. Now, today, I'm in Dover with my special guest, Ennio Emmanuel. He is the development director at MLCC, Marantha's Life-Changing Church down in Dover, Delaware. He is also the executive director at Dream 4 and a marketing consultant, a board member at A to Z Insurance. And you know what? He is just all around busy. We have been going back and forth and forth and back to get this man on this show. So welcome, Ennio, to Out and About with Antoinette.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so thankful for everything that you do. And I'm thankful to be here too.
And you know, I have been following you along, and you know, in full disclosure, you and I first met when you offered me an opportunity to come down to the church to do a presentation.
Oh, we first met at in Delaware at the State Service Center. Remember on the third floor of that little conference meeting? I forget what it was for, but that's where I first met
you. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it was a volunteer thing.
Yeah, that's where I first saw you. Yep.
Ennio, thank you. My mind, I was like, because you had mentioned to me before that we had met, and I'm going, okay, where did we meet? And it was, yes, the volunteer event that we did at Dover Downs.
I think the event might have happened at Dover Downs, but the planning, we did it at the State Service Center.
And
I just remember seeing you and being like, wow.
Right.
Something like this.
I was supposed to be there, and then they kicked me off. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't go either. I am so glad.
But then we got together at the church, and I was able to come, and I was totally amazed, because you know why? I'm originally from New York, which most people know, but I've been in Delaware most of my life, and I bit my teeth. You know, I got my start in Dover. I went to CR. And then I went to Dell State, and I went to New York, and then I came back. So Dover is really kind of like my home. But you have been in Dover how long?
I was in Dover. I grew up, my family growing up, I was born in Brooklyn, and then we moved to Ohio, and I came to Delaware around five, and then we went through every county. So I lived in Bear, then we moved over to Milton, and then we moved over to Dover. So I've been in Dover since I think that was like 13 or 14 around there. And I'm a little older now.
And that's amazing, because that's when I got to Dover. It was in 1976. Wow. I had just turned 14.
Wow.
When we were transplanting it from New Rochelle and Mount Vernon to Dover. And I don't know if it was a culture shock for you.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think I'm Hispanic. And so, you know, we're more culture diverse now, but even back then, for me, I was like the only Hispanic kid in some of my classes sometimes, or, you know, the only Hispanic kid with some of my friends. So it was a culture shock, because my family, although I learned how to be a part of all cultures, my family was very Hispanic. So it was like, if I brought people over, you know, my grandmother only talked Spanish. My parents had an accent. It was a different world back then. And my parents were still, you know, starting their businesses or starting their life. My mom was working at a federal qualified health center with Westside as a medical director. And so it was also like a very trying time for our family, like just growing. So it was a lot of stuff at once happening. And that's around the same time my parents decided to be ministers. So it was like the, you know, change in scenery, my parents changing their surroundings, a lot more demand on the family to do stuff in the community. So it was intense.
You know what? You helped so many people. Your family helped so many people. And that's what I love. Like I said, I don't care how long it took us to get together. I know I wanted to feature you, because it's not just you. It's not just about you, but it's about all the people around you. It's that community. And when I walked into that church, and then I saw the people, and I saw the bikers, the blessing for the bikers, and I saw the events that was happening here, I was like, oh my goodness, I've got to get back down here. And I do apologize. I meant to get back down there for Mother's Day, but I'm like still going to my church in Middletown, back and forth. I'm still in Smyrna.
It's hard. Like, okay, what you do already I do? Know. I can tell you, it's hard sometimes with our schedules to make it work. But, you know, I think the fact that we can do it at all is important, and we just support each other no matter where we're at.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about Code Purple of Kent County. I mean, because you guys have helped so many people, so many people.
Yeah, thousands. I think last year with all of our partners together, we served over 1 million meals. So Code Purple started in 2015. Really, you know, I got involved with Code Purple because I always liked doing stuff with nonprofits. You know, before living for about 7 years, I've been in Delaware now, you know, after leaving for a little while for school and college and my jobs, but I was in Los Angeles for about 7 years, and I would volunteer a lot with the Dream Center. And they are like a hospital building, and every floor does some type of social service for families or women or children. And then, so I was always inspired by that. And also just traveling to other countries. You know, my family, I went on my first humanitarian trip to Ukraine to an orphanage when I was 12. So, and I would go every year or two times a year since then. And I still do. And so that, you know, in my heart, I wanted to find something that was local that felt like I was like on a humanitarian trip in Haiti and Honduras. Because I like being in the dirt. I don't mind getting my hands dirty or being where people don't want to go. And so Code Purple was that for me at the time. You know, it was like, okay, we can build a little temporary shelter, because Code Purple started out as a cold weather shelter in the wintertime. And what they would do is, and what we still do is, we work with churches and or nonprofits to have a open space. And then from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m., we would provide shelter services and be able to give people food and shelter from the cold. And then I started working with them around 2018 as a volunteer at the Women's Site, Women and Children. And it also coincided that it was at Maranatha, where one of the places that I work with a lot on events and things. So it was a double, you know, good, positive vibes on all ends. And then 2019 rolled around, and the board wanted to kind of retire, and they wanted to kind of move on to other aspects of their life. And they approached me to help be a president and to create a board. And I said, I said, I don't know if I could do it. I said, no, at first, don't you do. And because it was something run by people who, you know, a lot of them were retired or they were doing their own thing. And so they had a lot of free time, and I have like 3 full-time jobs. And so it was really, I don't know where I'm going to fit this in, because it is a job, you know, and I take, especially when it comes to social service stuff, I take it very seriously. So, but you know, I just pray. I said, I'm going to pray about it. You know, so I'll come back to this. And out of nowhere, not too long after that, they had asked me about that. Someone from the state came to our office randomly, to where we usually would partner with Code Purple and do the women's ministry stuff. And someone showed up to our site and they said, hey, we got an email about what y'all do here with the woman, and we wanted to see if you wanted like a state contract to help out people who are coming to prison. And they specifically said, we want me to work on it. And I was like, well, and that, you know, that program was, had a little bit more foundation. It was going to be sponsored by the state. They had funding. And so I said, well, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to do Code Purple, because they can, you know, they're both intertwined in essence of help who they help. And so then, you know, I said, so we took on the challenge of saying yes to Code Purple. We started Dream 4 around the same time. And since then we've been able to grow into the cold, you know, the cold weather shelter, but we also have 3 group homes right now that focus on human trafficking victims of domestic violence, mm-hmm. Families, and also men coming out of prison. Mm-hmm. And then we are, you know, we have, we used to not have this before 2019, but we have a, you know, a food pantry and a clothing pantry that's free mm-hmm. to the public, open every day of the week or by appointment, if it's on the weekend. And we also now have a food truck that can go out to events and go to people that are on the streets. We have a commissary kitchen, and we just, and we have our second site, which is at People's Church now, where we have 2 new bathrooms, new showers, and 2 new laundry rooms that just opened up to help out like low-income families in downtown Dover or homeless individuals. So that, you know, growing upon that is really important. And then we also have an outdoor bathroom mm-hmm. that we've been able to acquire. And then that will help people have use a shower or use a bathroom outside when we're not open. So, wow. You know, we're just trying to move into that realm. And I think as we grow, we really would like to open a larger shelter that's open all year long. Mm-hmm. And rehab is also another thing that I think is very important right now.
And I love how you said, you know, when the opportunity was presented to you, you know, to create that board, you had to pray on it. you know, because
yeah, again, I was really scared. I think when you know, when you know purpose is coming at you, and I, you know, I have two parents that, you know, I saw them go from struggling to being successful. And so I know that once you say yes to something, especially in our family, once you say yes, it's yes. There's no no's, there's no turning back, there's no quitting. You know, I mean, you might ask for help and you might struggle, but you have to do whatever you say you're going to do. And so for me, it was like, I'm not going to commit. And then, you know, if it was a business thing or something for fun, yeah, you can say yes and then quit, whatever. But this was something that I knew had people's lives. You know, it was people's lives dependent on Code Purple every winter, especially. So it was important to me. But I knew that God was in it. I think that God knew that I wanted, that if I was going to take on Code Purple, I needed assistance, but assistance I didn't even know existed. I think I know so much now, more about grant writing and requests for proposals and working with the state, working with politicians. I've learned so much, you know, in 2019 to now. I feel like it's been 10 years, but it's only been a little while.
Yeah, I know. I've learned
so much since then that has prepared me to take Code Purple where we want to take it. But I would not have been able to do that if I didn't have like some, you know, closure or I guess a sign from God. And that was the Dream 4 project. And then Code Purple really has just, I have volunteers that are awesome, that are just amazing, that make things happen beyond my wildest expectations. I can't stop them. So I just tell people, you know, we go, you know, we feed every day now at 5:30 PM. We feed in the morning time when our office is open, but now we feed in that night every weekday at 5:30. And that's just something that our volunteers wanted to do. And I told him, I was like, y'all give me more work, because now I got to find a way to help make sure we stay funded. And now we can't stop, you know, now it started at a point where you can't stop it. So I think as long as we have the support, you know, God's on our side, and I'm less scared now. I think now I'm less scared to say yes to things.
Right.
Like I was telling you earlier, we have something that we started called the Kent County Alliance, which is about 16 nonprofits, some of them smaller than others, that are kind of all focused on helping the homeless or helping stop violence or helping children. We all kind of have those same focus groups or helping people with addictions. And so we're joining forces to come together to just unite our vision, unite our mission in certain aspects of the community. And so that's a new project that, you know, for me, I love music. I love, performing. I love business, but I'm not a person that, you know, if someone's like, we need a leader, I'm not the first person to stand up in a room. I'm really not. I'm really an introvert. I like to be home a lot.
Oh, please.
But I like to travel though, but my life does require me to kind of jump out and pump people up. And I think, you know, just, we have some new exciting things happening with this alliance. I think we're going to work to change public policy and to really make Kent County better. Because there's a lot of different groups, as you know, there's a lot of groups out there, but you know, every group has different missions and visions, especially with the vaccine now and vaccinations and health and all these different aspects that we just got to make sure that we fill in the gaps in the system and don't let anything fall behind. Just because, you know, the economy is going crazy or people are getting COVID. None of those things keep going, but homelessness and poverty and domestic abuse and violence and gun violence, all those things keep happening and growing, addictions keep growing. So it's, you know, I feel like I'm charged with getting us all together and making sure, at least in Kent County, in our little bubble, that we don't let anything go, you know, beside us. We pay attention and focus.
You are doing the darn thing. And I, like I said, I've been watching you. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, you hit on something, your performance and music. I mean, this, I know you have a love of music. And again, your heart is so big. And after meeting your mother, I can only imagine, you know, I'm like, man, this is like, had to be the best family to be in, because everybody's caring and giving and loving. And I felt like when I met you guys, you know, again, we met prior to, but when I walked in and I met her and I met you and I met the volunteers, I felt like I was part of a family. And that is an amazing feeling. And we're lacking that in today's world, you know, despite all the pandemic and all that. I mean, we are just, you know, we need to have that love and that connectivity and that caring again. And that is why, you know, Code Purple, you, your family, the volunteers, everybody in Kent County in that, you know, is just doing it. And so I want to talk, you know, about you too, because you are an amazing person. You know, you're on call 24 hours, but I know music probably helps you, woo-sai. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, you know, I want to talk about your music and the travel and the things that you like to do, as well as what you mentioned, you know, any upcoming activities or projects, you know, as we're coming in, into the fall, and anything that we can do, the listeners of Out and About with Antoinette can do to help you, whether it's, you know, volunteering or donating or just praying, you know. So let's take this quick break. Go, guys, go grab yourself something, a sip or snack. We'll be right back. And don't forget, you can find and follow me on all my social media platforms by using the link Tree ID. Del Blogger will be right back.
Hey, what's up, fellas? If you're looking for healthy, thought-provoking conversations on a variety of topics dealing with life issues, be a transparent, open dialogue for men who need a dose of honest, engaging, and heartfelt discussions, tune in to Inside the Armor, airing Mondays at 8 a.m., hosted by
Joe, Russ,
and yours truly, Boone. We would love to have you vibe with us as we talk about our trials and our triumphs, our messes and our successes. Join us for Inside the Armor Mondays at 8 a.m. Iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time.
Are you ready to join the billion-dollar podcasting industry? If so, Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio is ready for you. Whether you're just starting out and have no equipment, or you are a seasoned pro but need help with production, Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio has everything you need. Conveniently located in Middletown, Delaware, Blake's state-of-the-art production facilities make producing your first or 100th podcast a breeze. No matter what kind of project you have in mind, the professionals at Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio can help with your production or give you the tools to produce it on your own. At the heart of Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio is award-winning blogger, vlogger, and CEO Antoinette Blake, and her goal is simple: to help one more entrepreneur be successful. So stop making excuses and start making your podcast, audiobook, e-course, and other online dreams come true. Call Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio now, 302-261-3530. That's 302-261-3530.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the show. It's Antoinette from Out and About with Antoinette, your host, the CEO of A. Blake Enterprises, social media marketing and consulting, an award-winning blogger, vlogger, podcast host, author, and professional speaker. But here on Out and About with Antoinette, every week I have the honor and the privilege to bring on a guest who's not only from in and around the state of Delaware, but they have to be doing some positive things in their communities. And today, Ennio Emmanuel, man, he has such a major heart, but because of family and friends and support and volunteers that surrounds him, they are doing some amazing things, not only in Kent County, but in the state of Delaware. And it's all about leaving a legacy. So Ennio, before the break, you started talking about, you know, that opportunity that just came to you in 2019. I mean, that's just not even 2 years ago when you think about it, and you had to pray on it. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you pray on it, you will get that answer. And so they came to you, you took the bull by the horns, and you've been going ever since. But Ennio, you're a musician, you're an entertainer. I could not believe it. I was watching you on Facebook with the Firefly thing, and I thought you were going to be performing, but you did something even greater at Firefly. Yeah. But before we talk about that, tell me, music, has that always been in your blood?
Yeah, I think I always loved doing music. I think growing up, my family, you know, it was very big in the household to either be like a doctor or a lawyer. Those were our biggest pushes. And so I always was striving for that. I was always trying maybe to go to law school, and I took the LSAT and I studied for medical school. And at the end, when I was, growing up, I realized music was something I really loved. And I did some competitions and tried to record in high school. I interned in Philly with a lawyer, entertainment lawyer, when I was 17, and was able to like work with Lauryn Hill and the Fugees and Rick Ross and Trina. And that kind of opened up my eyes. And I remember the lawyer said, just don't be an artist. Don't do it. And so, you know, that scared me too. But I kept recording, and I did a demo when I was around 21, and I sent it out to some different record labels and different management, and I ended up getting an offer to move to Los Angeles to record an album with some other artists, and we worked on that, and that it was supposed to be called Weapons of Mass Production. It was going to be like a little
artists,
and so we ended up that didn't really work out, but I stayed in Los Angeles. Actually, I went on a missions trip to Honduras, and when I came back, all of our stuff was out on the lawn. So that was it was just, you know, it was a crazy experience. Our management was wild, but that had me homeless for about 2 weeks, and that's when I learned, you know, we learned about the Dream Center a lot, and just stayed with them. And then with some of my friends, we kept working, and the Dream Center had a music studio where one of my friends was interning. And it just so happened he would never come to the studio because he just was trying to work at another one called Oasis in Los Angeles, and his car broke down. So he had to come with me that day to the studio because I wasn't going to take him to his. And it so happened that within a couple of days, he ended up becoming the head intern at that studio, that Dream Center. And later on, as we would work, I would just help him out. And I found out that there was this lady named Paulina Aguilera coming to record. And she was, you know, I looked her up, and she had won a couple of Grammys for songwriting. And then she was working that day, I found out, with Gerardo Mejia, who also wrote Rico Suave.
Mm-hmm.
So they were there recording, and I was just there, helping out with getting water or whatever. And me and Paulina really hit it off, and with Gerardo, and they both helped me, get connected with some different music people. And then I started pursuing doing a Spanish album. And then with that Spanish album, I was able to promote it, and it went really well and helped me get a 4-year tour around the U.S. doing Spanish music. And so I made I did about 2 albums and more in the Spanish world. And so traveling around for 4 years doing music, and it was sponsored by Justo Llamas Group, which was also promoting culture, promoting Spanish culture a lot. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun for me. And then what happened was really I fell in love with music and the songwriting aspect, but I also got like a little burnout. And I think so part of that, I was living in Los Angeles at the time, part of that, just being around Los Angeles, as a 25-year-old, 26-year-old, I really was starting to hit me like, do I want to make my life in Los Angeles, or do I want to, be on the East Coast where most of my family and friends are? And living in California, especially the way they're set up, the pricing and everything is a lot more expensive. You have to decide if you want your life to be there. You have to decide mm-hmm. for your life to be there. It's not like some of the other places that you can just, throw a couple $100 here and there and move as you want. In California, you're either living good or you're not. So you have to decide and invest. And so I just really decided I was going to move to the East Coast, but I started off in West Virginia, and I stayed in West Virginia with some of my friends. And we worked on, I had some friends who wanted to do music with me, but because I was so busy, I never could. So I was like, let's just spend a year in West Virginia, record some music. So I have some songs that are from that time that I still haven't even released yet. And then I, moved on over to Delaware and just kind of started working on business projects that I had wanted to get to do, but I had, hadn't been able to get to them yet because of music. And then just recently, like after, a couple years of doing business and establishing myself in other areas, especially now with the nonprofit world, and with the 2020 happening, my mind, especially with addiction and people in that world of addiction, I was really dealing with that one-on-one. I knew a lot about homelessness, but I didn't know a whole bunch about addiction. I knew I helped addicts out, and I've helped people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol, but it's different when you're with them every day. And especially when you're with like 18-year-olds or 19-year-olds that are addicted to things every day, you're with them. It's not like you just come for a week or you see them once a month. Being with Code Purple and Dream 4 really just allowed me the opportunity, because I think it's a blessing to be able to be with people who are struggling and to love them and to see them where they're at, and then also know that they could screw you over at any point in time and make your life a living hell, but you still have to love them. And so that process of learning how to learning to be burned but still love, to know that people's how they would hurt you or how they try to come against you has nothing to do with who they are. It's just a demon that they're going through. It's an illness. Addiction is an illness that people just don't know how to conquer. And even if I know how to conquer situations in my life, I can't just think or believe that someone else knows how to do it. And so that process really just drove me crazy, and I needed an outlet. And, you know, I love traveling and I love hiking, which is something I love doing in California a lot, which you can't do here. There's no mountains in Delaware.
No,
but
flat here.
They're very flat. So I was like, I'm going to you start doing music again. So I, you know, reached out to my team, and I had been songwriting with different artists and working on production and stuff. But I was like, I want to get back into writing music and recording and just being around the arts. And then, you know, trying to find ways too that it could develop into something that could help Code Purple or help what we're doing here locally. So we are trying to get, I am trying to get like scholarships for kids to learn guitar, violin, or voice. And that's something that we, you know, we're creating right now. And so it's through what now my music has a bigger purpose. I think I used to always hear from industry professionals that they would say, you need to grow in your hometown or grow locally before you can grow nationally or big. And I used to always think that was, you know, a bunch of baloney. I would say that's not, you just grow wherever you're at, you got to grow. But being here now, working with the community a lot more, working with politicians, working with those in need, and also those who provide the need, you know, the ones who sponsor us to be able to help those, seeing all those different aspects really, and then also then seeing things in the newspapers or online and social media and how that gets shared. I think it is important for people, whether in your music or business or the arts or whatever it might be, to, you know, you do need to focus on your local community. And as that grows, then think about growing nationally or growing bigger. Because now my vision, growing here locally a lot more in the community, has helped my vision expand.
Exactly.
But still staying small. You know, I see where things could grow nationally. I see where we could expand, or I could do things personally in a national way. But it makes, when you get connected to community, you feel like it's a person itself, and you want to treat it a certain way. You want to take care of it. You want to coddle it a little bit. Sometimes you got to discipline it. And so it's like, that's why I want to be in the community and let my music be a part of everything I'm doing right now. And then hopefully, you know, it just expands into something that other people also can duplicate in their own life.
And speaking of growing nationally in music, you were recently at Firefly, but not as an entertainer. What, tell us, I mean, that when I heard that and I read that, I'm like, why is Ennio going? Oh, he's going to perform. And then I said, oh no, it's a Code Purple thing.
Yeah.
That was a major, major. So people that don't know about Firefly, this is a major, major, major. Like, it's almost like, what's that other big?
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza, right. So but that's here is down in Dover. So yeah. Dover is local. Remember Dover, when I came, it was nothing but like chicken fries and, you know, Scrapple contests and weird things like that. I mean, I still don't understand the Scrapple thing, but that's neither here nor there. But you guys went to Firefly to do something that was helping the homeless and helping the population. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Firefly, they, you know, there are a lot of people. They have 50 to 90,000 people there whenever they do the festival. And they have a lot of things that people leave over. They leave tents, sleeping bags, coolers, chairs, clothing, shoes, lanterns. What else? You got mugs, tarps, so many tarps, you know, tarps you never imagine. And so all these items can really be used for people who are on the streets, you know, people who are living on the streets temporarily. And it was tough because last year Firefly didn't happen. And so so it was, you know, making up for that, not having all the supplies was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we were able to get a lot of supplies, tents, sleeping bags, tarps, a lot of things that people would need, even like pillows and sheets that we can use as a shelter if we wash them, chairs, some things like lanterns and little mugs and things that even like people who aren't homeless that might be in need could use. And then Firefly always hooks us up. They usually either give us apparel that's left over. This year they gave us cups, some chairs, some really cool chairs that we're going to use for a kid center. So it's amazing. What we do is we're there all weekend just giving out information, showing people who we are, how they can get connected, how they can do make a Code Purple happen wherever they're from, because there's people who come from all over. And then we, on Monday, we get volunteers together, and like we're usually around 100 to 150 volunteers, and we go and we scatter all across all the campgrounds and we clean it all up. We grab all the different items that we could use, and then we put them in a pile. And then we, at the end, the pile gets put even to another pile, and then we organize it among ourselves. And then we also, this year, you know, something special that I thought was, you know, now that I'm more aware of what's happening around the state. I knew that Cope Herbal couldn't be like the only nonprofit that benefited. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we had other halfway houses and nonprofits from throughout the whole state come out and get some supplies.
Wait,
and,
great.
And it's the difference between us doing it and then if we weren't around, Firefly would hire a company and the company and they would either destroy it or if they could sell the metal stuff, they would sell the metal stuff. And then it would just be, you know, whatever, another profitable day for a company. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. You know, some of them recycle, but I found a local recycling company that was able to come and recycle some of the stuff that we weren't able to use.
Right.
We also partnered with some other nonprofits that Firefly did suggest that they could come and grab some things.
Okay.
And so it was fun. It's just, it's a great opportunity to get supplies. We've already given out since then because we help all, you know, Delaware. And then also some of our volunteers go to Kensington in Philly where it's really bad. And we've already given out 200 sleeping bags since then.
Wow. I never thought about that, but then you say, oh my gosh, they do have not only just Firefly, but all around the world, there's always some fair, some big events, the in the summer, once we get back into, you know, post COVID, we'll still be doing all these events. And what you did, like I said, I was scrolling through Facebook and I'm like, OMGZ, why aren't other people doing this? God bless you, because you are, like I said, from the giddy up, you are doing the darn thing. I keep thinking about you. What is that cartoon that comes around Christmas time where the character's heart gets so big it explodes? That's how I think of you. Your heart is so big. That I don't think you can hold it all. And your legacy is amazing. I mean, just what you're doing, and not again, Code Purple, all the volunteers, 100 to 150 volunteers. That's mind blowing. Because it's not like you're going and you're hanging out and you're partying. You're going to help. What you're out there doing is collecting leftovers for that's going to go to somebody that may not have diddly. So that, when you lay head to pillow, I know you sleep like so good because God has really rested you. I mean, because I know when you hit the pillow, you knocked out, you don't get a whole lot of sleep because you're ripping and running. But I know that when you do, when you sleep, you are very well rested and your mind and your body is blessed because that is just who you are. Now, before I let you go, please provide any contact information, website, email address, telephone numbers for anyone that's been inspired by you and want to help or support or donate. So tell us how we can reach you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you definitely stay in contact on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have all those with Code Purple Delaware. And then if you want to visit us online, we do have some events happening this Saturday in downtown Dover with the Community Against Gun Violence. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. in downtown Dover on Fulton Street. And then we have also October 23rd, we have a charity auction at the American Legion in Dover. And that's from 1 to 4 p.m. And so come on out. And then October 31st on Halloween at 5 p.m. at our office, we will do a harvest festival. And so all that information, make sure you stay connected. And then if you want more contact, just visit us at CodePurpleDelaware.com and we can connect with you there. We have a new website coming out here within a couple of days, I think. So just bear, if you look at it today, it might be different in like 3 or 4 days. Okay, but we're making it so people can interactively talk on the site and also volunteer time. Yeah, do some chatting. And then, so we're going to do that. And then if you have anyone in need, at our office, we do have rescue bags that you can come and pick up and you can grab the bags. It's like $60 worth of supplies usually, and it can help a person live for 2 weeks on the street. And so at our office in Dover, it's 1207 East Division Street in Dover. And you can give us a call if you don't know how to get there at 1-800-733-6816.
Okay. So that's 1-800-733-6816. And they can also go to Code Purple Delaware or Code Purple DE.
Code Purple Delaware, it's spelled out.
CodePurpleDelaware.com, and you're located at 1207 East Division Street in Dover, Delaware. Ennio, you are amazing. Thank you, very much. Thank you for being a guest here. I know, we're going back and forth, but before I let you go, are there any last words you'd like to leave us?
I think what I push now more than ever is if you have young people in your life, to encourage them to do all they can, as young as they can, to make the biggest impact they can. I think something I started making phone calls at my dad's job when I was 8, and I used to have a water ice stand. I used to do some businesses, but I never took them like completely seriously. And I realize now as I'm older, if I would have taken some of those opportunities seriously, like when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I would have actually probably been very successful in those avenues. And they would have helped me do more things. So I think, you know, pushing young people to reach, I know a lot of parents out there are pushing their kids to do great, but I think sometimes you have people who might think that their kids need to relax, or you have kids who think that they're not important or they can't do anything. And I just want to push people to, let's empower our young people to get working, you know, to start thinking about ideas, start thinking about their careers at a very early age, because no one is, you know, the world is not out, you know, there's nothing out there that's going to help you when you get older. You got to do it yourself. There's assistance there. Obviously God's there, but at the end of the day, we're here for a purpose. And if you can find that purpose out quicker than I did, then you'll be better off. And you're only going to do that by doing it, you know, by getting your feet wet, by taking the steps you got to take to make your life happen.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, start them young. You know, when you're a little tyke and you're watching them, you see where they shine. So promote that, push that, and don't be a dream killer. So thank you again, Ennio, for all that you're doing, all that your family's doing, all that the volunteers in the community are doing for, you know, our population in Delaware and all across the world. And I wish you a wonderful week, and may God continue to bless you, your mission, and your vision. Thank you for giving me your time today.
Oh, God bless you too. I loved it. And thank you so much for having me.
God bless you.
Much success. The best is yet to come, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you. Thank you all for listening to today's episode of Out and About with Antoinette. Every week I have the privilege, obviously you see, interviewing a guest who's from in and around the state of Delaware doing some amazing things in their communities. And if you'd like to be a guest on Out and About with Antoinette, please send an email to info@ablakeenterprises.com. And don't forget, you can find and follow me on all my social media platforms, including my blog and vlog, using the Linktree ID Del Blogger. Thank you for listening. And please share this podcast link with your family, your friends, your bae, and your boo too. And until the next time, stay smart, stay safe, and stay social, because I will see you in cyberspace. See ya. It's the DE Diva, aka the Delaware Blogger. Have a beautifully blessed day. Bye-bye.